ॐ सदाशिवसमारम्भाम् व्यासशङ्करमध्यमाम् अस्मदाचार्यपर्यन्ताम् वन्दे गुरुपरम्पराम् श्रुतिस्मृतिपुराणानाम् आलयम् करुणालयम् नमामि भगवत्पादशङ्करम् लोकशङ्करम् शङ्करम् शङ्कराचार्यम् केशवम् बादरायणम् सूत्रभाष्यकृतौ वन्दे भगवन्तौ पुनः पुनः ॐ हरिः ॐ तत्सत् श्रीगुरुभ्यो नमः हरिः ॐ ॐ सहनावतु सहनौ भुनक्तु सह वीर्यङ्करवावहै तेजस्विनावधीतमस्तु मा विद्विषावहै ॐ शान्ति शान्ति शान्तिः सो इन् दिस् बृहदारण्यक उपनिषत् We just started and we have not yet proceeded, we have not yet gone very far because the Shankar Bhagavatpadas, the commentary happens to be such that we are very still stuck. But still, it's for clarity anyway. So this very beginning itself, we have three meditations discussed. We should not forget that in this Prathamam Brahmanam, the first chapter presents the Adhyaropaha and second chapter presents the Apavadaha. So, Adhyaropa Apavada Prakriya is used here. So, we all know very well Adhi Aropaha. Adhi Aropaha, together we call it, use the term Adhyaropaha. Adhyaropaha, Adhyaropanam. This word is not new. I've been talking to you for quite some time. Like, when you present the order, always say ajnanam, ignorance, and the ignorance is the root cause of the samsara, we know. And in establishing this, how ignorance is the root cause of samsara, the bondage of karma, ignorance of the truth is actually the ignorance of the self, and because of this ignorance of the self, which is not created by anyone, which is very natural one. And because of this ajnanam, the ignorance of the reality obtaining as the ignorance of the self. So I am repeating it. Ignorance of the reality of the entire cosmos obtaining as the very ignorance of the self is ajnanam, and which is the root cause of the bondage of karma, the samsaraha. This is how Shastram presents the teaching. And why? So ignorance is uncreated. It is not something new. Ignorance is naturally there. And because of this ignorance, there is error in the perception of the self. The non-self is mistaken for the self. So ignorance of the self leads to, results in the mistake. Of the non-self is mistaken for the self. And this mistaking the non-self for the self is called adhyasaha. Adhyasaha. So mistaking the non-self for the self is called adhyasaha. So ajnanam results in adhyasa. And because of the adhyasaha, what is the immediate cause of adhyasa? Ajnanam. What the result, immediate result of the ajnanam? Adhyasaha. And because of this adhyasaha, the mistaking the non-self for the self results in the adhyaropaha. After the adhyasa, what is the immediate result of the adhyasa? Immediate result of the adhyasa is adhyaropaha. Sometimes the word, why today I am talking, because some people have a confusion about adhyasa and adhyaropaha. We can be very, very clear. Even though the words are used in different contexts, we have to make it very clear. Adhyasa results in adhyaropa. So adhyaropaha means when we mistake the non-self for the self, naturally the attributes of the non-self, the dharmas of the non-self, the qualities of the non-self, the nature of the non-self is mistaken for the nature or the self. The attributes of the non-self are superimposed upon the self. So mistaking the attributes, qualities of the non-self for the qualities of the self is called what? Superimposition of the limitations of the non-self upon the self. Superimposition of the limitations of the non-self upon the self. And the superimposition is called what? Adhyaropaha or adhyaropanam. Then, once these limitations of the non-self are superimposed upon the self, then there is a image, self-image. There is a notion, view of the self as a limited being. And this view of the self, the notion about what we have about the self is called ahankaraha. And this self-image or view of the self, perception, this erroneous notion we have about the self, in terms of I am a limited being, I am a limited individual, etc., we say is a wrong notion, is called ahankaraha. Okay, ahankara is such a nothing but the wrong notion we entertain about ourselves in terms of I am a limited being, I am a limited individual, I am small, etc. So all these are wrong notions about this self, about one's own self. The wrong notion I have about my own self is ahankara. And this is the ahankara is caused by adhyaropaha. And ahankara results in, of course, the desire. Because of the wrong notion, it results in the needs, emotional needs. Something called emotional need itself is because of this ahankara. The pressure to be different from what one is. And that ahankara, the need, and the needs result in the desires, which is again there is a common human fundamental desire in terms of I want to be happy, I want to live long happily. The fundamental desire comes, and which is the cause of all other desires, and all the desires impel. Desire really, from the desire is born what? Karma, action. So ahankara results in the need results in desire, asha, otherwise called in technical term kamaha. So ahankara results in the need, dependence, then there is a kama, desire, and the kama results in what? Action, karma. Kama, the desire, results in karma, performance of action. Then action produces result, and the result, whatever is the result, punyam or papam, every action produces result. And to exhaust the result, and there is a punarjanma, rebirth. So now you can start with this now. So how in Shastra it is presented, instead of using the term ajnanam, in Upanishads we use also another term, avidya. In Shankara Bhagavad Pada's commentary, we come across this word avidya. Ajnanam and avidya are used as synonyms. So avidya, because of ajnanam, avidya, there is adhyasaha, then there is adhyaropaha, and because of adhyaropaha, there is ahankara, wrong notion, and because of the ahankara, there is a need, and there is a need results in kama, desire, and the desire results in what? The performance of action, karma, avidya, kama, karma, this again, kama, karma, then karma produces phalam, because after phalam, janma. So janma means rebirth again. So, and being born again and again and again is punarjanma. So what is the root cause of our rebirth? Our being born again. What is the immediate cause and what is the root cause? We know very well root cause of rebirth. The being born again and again and again is called what? Samsara. In Tamil we say piravi pini, the disease of rebirth, being born again. So the immediate cause of the birth is phalam, karma phalam, paradha karma, we say karma phalam. And the immediate cause of the karma phalam is karma. And for the cause of the karma is kama, desire. And the desire is because of the need. Because of the need. And then we can say the sense of inadequacy, sense of smallness in the dark eye, which is a fundamental problem. And that is because of the wrong notion we have about ourselves, ahankara. Now ahankara is because of adhyaropa. Adhyaropa is because of adhyasaha. Adhyasaha is because of ajnanam or avidya. Shankara Bhagavad Pada reduces all these words into three words. Avidya, kama, karma. Avidya, kama, karma are the three words he uses to mean all of them. Instead of saying ajna, avidya, adhyasaha, adhyaropaha, ahankaraha, he doesn't say, he's saying all those things. Now what? these all of them, he will simply say avidya kama karma. So for when we study advanced, when we study further and further, we have to understand the words, three words, avidya, kama and karma. Three words stand for everything. So from here we understand our birth itself is what? Product of ajnanam. Now we understand. So our birth itself is caused by what? Ignorance. Therefore, what is the cause? No, that's why avidya is called karana shariram. Avidya or ignorance is called karana shariram, which means the cause of the birth. It is karana shariram means we should not think that something. What is the cause? How avidya is the cause for the birth? We call avidya as a causal body, karana shariram. So in that context, the three words are used. But that adhyaropaha, now I want to come bring you to this class. Adhyaropaha, there is superimposition of the limitations of the non-self upon the self. But in the prakriya also, when there's a prakriya used as a karanakarya prakriya, there is a given methodology called adhyaropa apavada prakriya. The prakriya, we are meaning is the same superimposition. So here it is not about the self and the non-self. It is about the reality, Brahman. So adhyaropa is superimposition, which means what is superimposed upon what? Here, the entire universe, the status of being the effect, the status of being the effect or the product is attributed to the universe. So attributing the effect status, the product status to the universe, the objective universe, is adhyaropaha, step one. Once we give the effect status to the universe, we say jagat karyam. Jagat karyam. What is this jagat? Jagat is karyam. So jagataha karyatvam. Jagataha karyatvam. Jagat's status of being the effect is the step one in adhyaropaha. The effect status is superimposed upon the universe. Given to the universe. Attributed to the universe. Then, once the universe is given the effect status, which means it's a product, if we say it's a product, then the next question comes, what is the cause? What is the cause of this effect? Because always effect presupposes the cause. There cannot be something called effect without the cause. Therefore, the next question comes, what is the cause? If the universe is the effect, the product, what is the cause from which the universe has come into existence? And naturally, we have to say, Brahman is the Jagat Karanam. Or it is Jagat Karanam Brahma. The cause of this universe is Brahma. When I say cause of this universe is Brahma, here also the causal status is attributed to Brahman. I need not tell you what is Brahman. So the status of being the cause is attributed to the absolute reality, implied by the term Brahman. The causal status is attributed to Brahman. The effect state, so attributing the effect status to the universe and attributing this causal status to the reality implied by the term Brahman is called Adhyaropaha. Adhyaropaha means superimposition, which means very, very expression superimposition should make it very clear. Really speaking, Brahman is neither the cause, Brahman is not the cause, nor is the universe effect. Even though Brahman is not the cause, universe is not the effect, but still, this in the Upanishads, when this methodology is used, a given methodology is used to reveal Brahman. In teaching methodology, especially this Karnakarya Prakriya, this we always call Adhyaropavada Prakriya, always called Srishti Prakriya. So there's a superimposition. So effect status is given to the universe and causal status is attributed to the reality implied by the term Brahman. And this is called superimposition. What is Adhyaropite? What is superimposed here? The effect status is superimposed. Causal status is superimposed. Upon what? Upon the universe, which is not actually the effect. And causal status are superimposed upon the Brahman, which is actually not the cause. And it is called Adhyaropaha. Thereafter, again, through further analysis, the effect status attributed to the effect, the universe, is negated first. Because the analysis helps us discover this fact that the entire universe is Brahman. Instead, the universe is nothing but just as pot is clay. When we are supposed to arrive at the fact that the whole universe is Brahman, if universe is Brahman, you cannot call universe an effect. Therefore, you negate the effect status attributed to the universe first. Later, once the effect status is negated on the part of the universe, then Brahman also cannot have the causal status anymore. Then thereby you say, if the universe is Brahman, what is that only Brahman means? You are also negating the causal status attributed to Brahman. So this first superimposition, thereafter a negation. Apavadaha, it actually means negation. The negation of the causal effect status first and the negation of the causal status next is called Apavadaha. So finally, we arrive at, through this prakriya, through this specific method of unfoldment, Upanishad reveals what is only Brahman. So Upanishad helps understand what Brahman is and what is there is only Brahman. And this prakriya, this method of unfoldment is called Adhyaropa Apavada Prakriya. And here also the word superimposition is used. Adhyaropaha. So in the very first chapter, the whole of the first section deals with Adhyaropaha. And second section deals with that Apavadaha. so that we have the whole prakriya is used. By the time we complete both the chapters, we're supposed to have thorough knowledge of what is there is only Brahman. And for which, but it is unusually the teaching is given here. The three Upanishad begins with the three big upasanas, three meditations. And the first Upanishad presents the Ashwamedika, the Ashwa Upasanam. In that Ashwa Upasanam, the object of meditation is Ashwaha. And which Ashwaha? Not any ordinary Ashwa, but the Ashwaha, the horse used in, the worshipped in the Ashwamedika Yajna, the Ashwamedha Yaga. And we saw that. And second upasanam is Agni Upasanam. At last I come to the class. Agni Upasanam is the next upasanam. And in this Agni Upasanam also, this Agnihi, which is an alambanam for in this upasanam also, of course in both the upasanams, in all the upasanams, Devata, Upasya Devata, the Lord who is meditated upon is Virat. Virat is the Upasya Devata. Who is meditated upon is Virat, Ishwaraha, the Lord. But the Alambanam symbolizing the Virat is Ashwaha in the first Upasanam. And the second Upasanam, Agnihi, is the Alambanam for Virat. And this Agni also is not simply any Agni found from anywhere, but this Agni is specifically kindled and used in the performance of Ashwamedha Yaga. Therefore, the fire which symbolizes, represents the Virat Ishwara must be of some greatness. Therefore, this Upanishad presents the whole teaching as what? The whole teaching through by talking about the origin of this horse, which is used in this Ashwamedha Yagya. And the context we came across, actually, originally, what is this heart? What is this Agni? Where has it come from? What is the origin of the fire, this Agni? Doesn't matter, this Agni, Ashwamedika Agni, if it has some greatness, where has it come from? What is its source? What's the origin? So, please want to talk about it. To say how glorious and how great this Agni is, Upanishad introduces the Srishti Prakriya or Adhyaropa is introduced here. So there, one sentence comes first. Before everything has been created, before this universe originated, before the Agni originated, before the universe originated, what was there? Naiveha kinchanagra asit. Naiveha kinchanagra asit. I always love the sentence in Chandogya. Sadeva saumya idamagra asit. But here, diagonally opposite statement is presented. There it was mentioned, Sadeva saumya idamagra asit. But now it is said, Naiva kinchanagra asit. Naiveha kinchanagra asit. Naiva iha kinchana agre asit. Naiva asit. Agre, before. Before means when? Before this universe originated, the universe came into existence, before the creation of this universe, before this universe came into existence, agre, before, kinchana iha kinchana naiva asid. Nothing was here at all. Nothing was here at all. Therefore, nothing was here at all. This very sentence sounds like a Shunyavadi's statement. Nothing existed before the universe came into existence. Which means there was neither the cause nor was there the effect. Nothing was there means the cause also was not there before. The effect also was not there before. For nothing was there before. Therefore, there are different schools of thought who are given to this view. The cause was not there before, effect was there. There are some people who say cause alone was there, effects were not there. There are some people who are given to the view nothing was there before. The people are of different views. Therefore, Shankar Bhagavatpada wanted to establish that no, the cause also was there before, effect also was there before. So he refutes all the people of different views. There was no cause at all. There was no effect at all. Nothing was there, neither the cause nor the effect was there before. Nothing was there before is one view. Cause was there, effects were not there before is another view. Therefore, Shankara Bhagavatpada had to really say that cause was there. And also effects also were there before. If everything was there before means nothing has been created newly. Nothing has been created newly. Everything existed before. If everything existed before, what was there before alone is now. In the form of the universe. What was there before alone is here now in the form of the universe. Which means nothing has been created. Cause has not been created. Effect also has not been created. Because Shankara had to refute both Karana Asadvadis and Karya Asadvadis. Shankara had to refute Karana Asadvadinaha and Karya Asadvadinaha. And Karana Karya Asadvadinaha. People who say cause was not there, effect was there. People who say effect, cause was there but the effect was not there. And people who say neither the cause nor the effects existed before. But Shankara had to say the cause existed before, the effect also existed before. So now also the cause alone is there in of all the effects. In future also there will be this cause and effect. Inseparable from each other. Which means, cause has not been created, effect has not been created. So cause and the effect alone was there before. But what is the difference? If it was there before, now also cause is there in the form of the effect. Cause alone was there in the form of the effect before. Now also cause alone is in the form of the effect. In fact, cause is distinct from the effect. At the same time, cause is not distinct from the effect. The effect is nothing but the cause. Effect is nothing but the cause. Cause is distinct from the effect. Cause is different from the effect. But cause is not distant from the effect. The effect is nothing but the cause. Therefore, cause was there before, effect also was there before. Karanam asit puram, karyam api puram asit. And the same karanam which was there before is now also in the form of all the karyam's effects. So cause alone is in the form of the effects. Cause was there, cause is there now. If before also cause was there now of effect, now also cause is there now of the effect, means what is the difference between before and now? So before the universe came into manifestation, and now. So what is the difference now? The only difference is, before the cause was there, the effects were there, but the effects were all unmanifest. Before, all the effects were unmanifest. Effects mere means the forms, names and functions. The forms, names and functions which constitute the universe was there before unmanifest and undifferentiated. When the universe obtaining in the form of obtaining as the forms, names and functions was there unmanifest and undifferentiated. When these forms, names and functions remain undifferentiated and unmanifest, there was only one thing, which is Sat. Sat alone was there. You say Sat alone was there. Other than the Sat, nothing else was there. So the Brahman implied by the term Sat, Sat alone was there. Nothing else other than Brahman was. But the thing is, because they are undifferentiated and unmanifest, they all remain as one. They all remain as one. And you can never talk about that one. Because when everything remains as one, you are there inseparably as one. You yourself remain inseparably as one when everything remains as one. Therefore, when you yourself remain one with the reality as only reality, as one reality, you cannot talk about that. We can never talk about we can understand, arrive at it, we can never talk about it. Then, and the same unmanifest, undifferentiated, when they say the forms, names and functions become manifest as the universe, they are differentiated. And they are manifest, they're recognizable. So when there is manifestation of forms, names and functions, then there is recognizability of the reality. So manifestation of forms, names and functions is what? It is actually recognizability of the reality. When these forms, names and functions, the duality, the plurality is resolved, then the forms, names and functions are not there, then the reality is also non-recognizable. Therefore, we say the manifestation, there's recognizability of the reality. When the universe is unmanifest, the reality is but non-recognizable. In manifestation, there is reality is recognizable, obtaining as the universe, but when the universe is unmanifest, reality is non-recognizable. So what was there was only Brahman, and now the universe, what is now is also only Brahman. What was there was only Brahman, what is now is also only Brahman. Brahman alone was, Brahman alone is. Nothing else was there before other than Brahman. Nothing else was there before other than Brahman. Now also nothing else is there other than Brahman. What was before the creation, what was there is Brahman. Now also only Brahman. Only difference is forms, names and functions were unmanifest before, remained as one. Now when the forms, names and functions are manifest, there's a seeming plurality. Even now Brahman alone is, now also plurality is not there really. It's a seeming plurality, a seeming apparent duality, apparent multiplicity. There seems to be many. Diversity is only, there's a seeming diversity. Actually, there's only unity, which means there is only Brahman. What was Brahman, what is now is also Brahman. The only difference is unmanifest forms have become manifest, undifferentiated forms are now differentiated. Therefore, there seems to be plurality. Even now, what is there is only Brahman. What is Brahman, what was Brahman. Therefore, it is not right on our part to say nothing was there before. And second thing, something cannot come into existence out of nothing. Because nothing can come out of nothing. For something to come out of something, there must be something. Therefore, it's illogical to say the cause did not exist at all. It is improper to say the effects also were not there before. So, karana asadvadaha is also subject to limitations, limited problems. Karya asadvadaha also, karya asadvadaha is also improper. Cause was, so effects also were there, unmanifest. The cause was, effects were there, undifferentiated. Now the effects are differentiated. Apart from this manifestation and differentiation of the forms, names and functions, nothing is there. There's only manifestation of what was, what is nothing but manifestation of what was, whatever was. When you say whatever is the manifestation of whatever was, means there's no creation. There's no real creation. Therefore, it is not right for us to say nothing was there before. Whatever was there alone is now. What was Brahman? What is now is also nothing but Brahman, but with its power manifest in terms of forms, names and functions. Therefore, is power differentiated. So, Shankara Bhagavatpada, in his commentary, he says, Samsara Mandale Kinchidapi Namarupa Pravibhakta Visesham Naiva Asid. There was no differentiation and manifestation of forms, but forms were all there before as one undifferentiated reality. This much is the old lesson. We want to make it clear. Even doubts here in this. Therefore, when everything was there as one, we cannot even say that there was a cause. We cannot even say there was an effect. Yes, everything was there, that's all. There was everything as one without differentiation of cause and effect also. Therefore, what is the lesson today? Naiveha kinchana agra agre asit implies that if forms, names and functions be remaining unmanifest, therefore this sentence should not be mistaken literally. It should not take literally that nothing existed before. The shunya, nothing was there before, should not be misunderstood. This statement here should not be misunderstood as nothing was there before, shunyam was there before. You understand? Nothing was there before means these differentiated manifest forms, names and functions alone were not there before. Were not there means they were unmanifest before. They were, the forms, names and functions also were there before, but only they were undifferentiated. The remaining undifferentiated, unmanifest is as good as non-existent. Why? Because when they are unmanifest, undifferentiated, they are non-recognizable. And when they are non-recognizable, they are as good as So non-recognizability is as good as non-existent. Non-recognizability is not non-existence. We understand the sentence. Non-recognizability is not non-existence. And non-existence, but non-recognizability is as good as non-existence. So before, the forms, names and functions were undifferentiated, unmanifest. But either when they're unmanifest, undifferentiated, they're non-recognizable. And non-recognizability should not be mistaken for non-existence. Non-recognizability is as good as what? Non-existent. Therefore, Upanishad uses this sentence saying, Naiveha kinchana agre asit. முன்னால் ஒன்றுமே இருக்கவில்லை. நைவ யுக அக்ரே கிஞ்சன ஆசித், நத்திங் வாஸ் தேர் அட் ஆல் பிஃபோர் மீன்ஸ் வாட் இட் சேஸ் இஸ் எவ்ரிதிங் வாஸ் ஆஸ் குட் ஆஸ் நான் எக்ஸிஸ்டன்ட் பிகாஸ் நத்திங் வாஸ் டிஃபரன்ஷியேட், நத்திங் வாஸ் மேனிஃபெஸ்ட், நத்திங் வாஸ் ரெக்கக்னைசபிள். But for all the forms, names and functions to become recognizable, they must become manifest, become differentiated. Therefore, it should not be mistaken that they were not there before. They were all there before, but they were unmanifest, undifferentiated. Therefore, they were non-recognizable. Because when they are non-recognizable, non-recognizability, it should be mistaken for non-existence. Non-recognizability should not be mistaken for non-existence. Let me give you the example. When you are all fast asleep, I'll answer the question soon. Now, Krishnaji, I'll tell you. See, when we are fast asleep, you cannot recognize, you cannot differentiate anything. When you're fast asleep, what can you differentiate? Nothing is differentiated. Nothing is manifest in sleep. Therefore, in sleep, you are there, but the world is there. But is there any recognizability? In sleep, nothing is recognizable. Even when you in sleep, nothing is recognizable. World is not recognizable. You yourself are not recognizable in sleep. Even though you are not recognizable in sleep, the world is not recognizable in sleep. It does not mean world is non-existent. When you are fast asleep, world is not non-existent, nor are you non-existent. In sleep, you are very much there. In sleep, universe also is there very much. Only difference is you are. So your non-recognizability should not be mistaken for your non-existence. Your non-recognizability of the world should not be mistaken for non-existence of the world. World exists, you are there. You are very much there, world is very much there. But still, you are not recognizable. World is not recognizable when you are fast asleep. When nothing is recognizable, everything is what? As good as non-existent. It is not non-existent, as good as non-existent. Therefore, what this first sentence wants to say, I developed so slowly, I brought it to this understanding. What is meant said here is, before this universe becomes recognizable, nothing was there means all the forms, names and functions which you are experiencing as this objective universe, including the individual obtaining as the experiencer, all of us, the experiencer Jiva also existed. Experienced world of plurality also existed before, but without any differentiation, because they existed without differentiation, because they're unmanifest. Therefore, they were, but only thing is, until they become manifest, they are non-recognizable. When they're non-recognizable, they're as good as non-existent. Therefore, reality alone was there as only reality, with all these innumerable countless forms, names and functions, remained unmanifest as the only undifferentiated unmanifest reality. Therefore, nothing was there other than the reality. That is what is mentioned by this first sentence. Naiveha kinchana agre asit. Only one sentence is done. Okay. Other arguments will continue next class. But before I go to next class, I want to say, in fact, we never have, somebody has asked me the question, what makes us become curious to know our own origin? Really speaking, we never have the curiosity to know. It's not a curiosity, it's our very urge. There is a, I want to know is a natural urge. Natural urge. But we do not even know that there is a natural urge to know. It is like when a child is crying, the child does not even say, child knows, doesn't know that if you want, child wants to eat food, child is hungry, child only wants to, just cries. But we understand the child is crying because it's an expression of the child's desire for eating. It's an expression of child's hunger. Mother understands. Why? There's no reason the child to cry otherwise. The child is crying means some disturbance. Crying on the part of the child is an expression of some disturbance. The part of the child. The disturbance is caused by some discomfort in terms of hunger or thirst or some pain. Similarly here, all our behavior, I tell you one thing, we understand this very interesting thing. You should know this. All that we are doing, whatever we are doing, all that we are doing is actually expression of our disturbance caused by the discomfort. And to get the discomfort, which is, and what is actually expression of the urge to know? Child's crying is expression of the hunger. Similarly here, all our behavior, everything that we do, the very life itself is what? Expression of our natural urge to know. Why? Because only that urge to know should culminate in knowing the truth, obtaining as one's own self. Then there is absolute comfort. That is natural. There's nothing which really gives us a curiosity. There is natural, inborn, natural urge to know. Because that urge to know is because of the discomfort, and that will resolve only in knowing the truth. So we'll continue the next class.